present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz, which comes this week from the Grand Theatre, Blackpool. We start with a cutting scene in The Courier, read by Charlotte Green.
A car was deliberately set on fire in Tunbridge last Tuesday night. It took firefighters 45 minutes to deal with the blaze. The car was gutted.
Thanks to Ben Matthews for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Linda Smith and Marcus Brigstock. And opposite them on my left, Jeremy Hardy and Armando Iannucci. Linda, the easiest question. Who said ta-ra to tally-ho?
This is the House of Commons. They have voted in a huge majority against hunting with dogs. And I believe beagles are involved as well. But basically, fox hunting is going to be outlawed. And they're not. The countryside don't seem to be taking it lying down, really. They're going mad, saying it's going to be unenforceable in rather a sinister way.
The police said that. The police said we can't enforce this law.
But they can't enforce many of them, really. You might know if you've ever been burgled.
Yeah, I know. I mean, how are the police supposed to spot 150 people wearing red blazers, riding on horses, blowing horns very loudly? I mean, that could be anybody.
There will be a big backlash, though, because, of course, they're a very close-knit family, the Countryside Alliance.
But if they say that they're going to break the law by continuing to fox hunt, that means it will be legal to chase fox hunters with police dogs and horses all across the country. Which would be great, because I think fox hunters are pests.
And there's no foxes in the countryside. They all live in London.
Do they all commute?
Yeah. The countryside is too expensive. They've all moved into London.
Oh, the train carriages full of foxes, right? And they draw into London. They get out and they say they treat them as like animals in there. In 50 foxes to a carriage. But what was this sort of... Because Blair wanted a sort of compromise.
A halfway measure.
He
tried this licensing. And the fox hunts that could get a license would be the ones that could prove that hunting them down with dogs and tearing them to pieces wasn't the cruelest way of doing it. That there was a crueler way.
You could put speed bumps in forests and just...
slow them down a bit.
Give the foxes a fighting chance.
Badger baiting license would be cheaper because badgers are black and white, whereas foxes are colour.
They've got all the animal rights people over a barrel, because basically people who hunt have effectively said, if you ban it, we're going to murder all the hounds that we've got. So if you stop us from killing one fox, we'll kill about 800 hounds. So think on, you veggie scum.
Why don't they just have clay fox hunting? If you can have... get a clay fox. Let it go. And it won't go very far, and just jump on it.
House of Commons has voted in favour of a complete ban on hunting. Beagles that have been used as hunting dogs have become so anxious about the outcome, they've all taken up smoking again. Prince Charles angered anti-hunt protesters when he arrived at Carisfort Village wearing a fox fur on his head. He explained that he told his valet the day before that he was going to Carisfort, and the valet had said, "Wear the fox hat." Marcus, who will still need you when you're fourscore and ten?
Government will need anyone when they're fourscore and ten to still be working. This is basically they've said that people should be allowed or made to work until they're 70. Old people should just keep working. And I think 20-year-olds should be able to draw a sort of pension. Because the old people are quite happy working anyway, frankly. No, they've been doing it for years. They're good at it. they're experienced, they're keen, and the last thing they want is an unfair dismissal based on their age. And so 20-year-olds should be allowed to sit about in slippers eating biscuits and saying that wars used to be nice.
We're not going to be allowed to retire until we've just got enough strength left to dissolve a Werther's Original. If we keep our mouths shut tight and the heating turned up for full.
I actually saw that in action recently. I was in Bexhill-on-Sea and I saw a poster for a band that was touring that must be 300 years old now. Yeah. The Bachelors. Their tour was called The Bachelors in Their Live and Well Tour. Aww. I thought, who's on next week? Val Doonigan and he's, you're not putting me in a bloody home tour.
The old are the new, young, the older the new left, I thought, the peace movement.
Rebels without a short-term memory.
I know. You trace all the anarchist websites, they all lead back to a bowls club in Worthing.
Oh, it's a lovely game, bowls. Never any violence at bowls. It's a, it's a bit of a shame, really, because that would give it the frisson of excitement, I think.
You get a very slow streaker at bowls. They run in a slight curve. And then hit another streaker.
If they're good.
Trade Secretary Patricia Hewitt has announced a crackdown on age discrimination at work and a new retirement age of 70. The news that employers will no longer be able to sack people on the basis of age has been greeted with delight by Jimmy Savile. And outright terror by the bosses of Top of the Pops.
You know what I think about Jimmy Savile? If you look at him, he is the founder of hip-hop fashion, isn't he? My hole is in the hood there, fabulous there, with my homies there, you'll see. Bling, bling, there. All those years ago.
Our man, though, who's been Mussolini-ing in on the EU.
This is Silvio Berlusconi, which is Italian for right-wing nutter, who's currently president of Europe. And a lot of people were very worried about him. And he said, no, it will be fine. And day one, hour one, he's caused the biggest diplomatic crisis in Europe since the bombing of Dresden. Some German MEP was heckling him, saying, you are slightly right-wing. And he compared this German MEP to a Nazi concentration camp commandant. And afterwards, he said he was being ironic. In the same way that Mein Kampf was ironic. I've spent my whole life being embarrassed by the fact that Italian prime ministers change every month. And now I find myself actually praying that it will happen.
They did wheel out a few politicians from his party on television. And as soon as it got to the question of, well, don't you think he's been a rather an offensive oaf? They just suddenly pretend they didn't understand English. They just suddenly go, oh, what off? I don't know. What's the matter, you, eh?
Just bring out
why
the
big peppermint.
Why
you looking so sad? Ah, shut up, your face.
There are some countries, aren't there, that can't really make the Germans were Nazis gags during the war. And Italy would pretty much be...
Yeah.
Pretty much the big one.
Were you looking at me, Pot? I speak as the son of a partisan.
Oh. So.
That's a lovely song, isn't it? Son of a partisan.
The only man who could ever reach me is the son of a partisan.
Anyway, I think the answer is Silvio Berlusconi.
You say that beautifully.
Yes.
How long have you been in our country?
I don't know if I've said this before. I used to produce this program, and we had about 12 years ago, and my first letter of complaint from a listener complained about references to the royal family and ended with the words, "And Iannucci." What sort of a name is that for the so-called British broadcasting?
Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi launched Italy's presidency of the European Union by comparing German MEP Martin Schulz to a Nazi camp commander. MEPs attacked Mr Berlusconi, saying his outdated stereotyping belonged to World War II, before adding that, as an Italian, they were sure he'd be very soon making a rapid retreat. Jeremy, listen to this.
Girl, I want to take you to a gay bar. I want to take you to a gay bar. I want to take you to a gay bar, gay bar, gay bar. Wow!
Jeremy, who's planning to lift the gay bar?
The government has actually decided to do something quite good, which is to introduce a kind of gay marriage. But, yeah, there's going to be a kind of registering thing. It's not exactly a marriage, so that gay couples have some of the same rights as married couples. Normally, a heterosexual marriage, it's like the bloke says, yeah, whatever, flowers are fine, dress is fine, rings fine, yeah, caterer is fine, music's fine. Gay marriages, it's going to... Imagine fighting over the music. One wants Bach, the other one wants Oklahoma. You know, the catering, the flowers, the curtains. Do we want doves coming out or muscly men in hot pants jumping out of the... Gay weddings are going to be fantastic.
Well, the one that they've done, the one that was in the paper, made a big point of mentioning that both men wore cream suits, just in case people had forgotten they were gay.
But no, it's a good thing that basically they've improving human rights for gay people. This is probably controversial in Blackpool, because it's not the sort of thing that's spoken of in Blackpool. It's like, oh, a lovely couple, both bachelors.
I don't think so, Jeremy. You can't have been to Blackpool recently.
Has it become a gay?
I tell you, that tower's not just for decoration.
Is Blackpool now the gay capital of Blackpool, then? Is it? Is it become?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good. I didn't know that. I haven't been there since last year. This was all fields then. So, are you all gay, then?
The upper tier are.
Behind you!
The proposals have been attacked by campaigner Peter Tatchell as a watered-down version of marriage, which is like an ordinary marriage, except you get to have sex now and again. We start round two with a cutting from the American self-help book called Cut the Clutter and Show the Stuff.
Based on our exhaustive research, we've identified four primary clutter types: the collector, the concealer, the accumulator, and the tosser.
Thanks to Colin McLaughlin for sending that in. Linda, which party has been speeding up this week?
The Tory party. They've come out with all these policies saying, oh, we can drive the car really fast if we want on the motorway. They're going to change that. They're going to stop speed cameras unfairly catching people who are speeding. They're going to let us have drugs if we want drugs. Basically, they're like a divorced parent, really. They don't see that much of us. So they're trying to win back our affection with these lavish gifts, really. Because, they're so remote, they're worried about us, and, you know, they're giving us all these things and saying, and remember, Tony Blair isn't your real dad.
In their latest cunning wheeze to storm back to power, the Conservatives plan to win over voters with a promise to raise the motorway speed limit to 80 miles an hour. Shadow Transport Secretary Tim Collins announced that everything was now coming the Tories' way. Well, this is probably because they're driving down the wrong carriageway. 2 points to Linda. Marcus, who is Auntie?
Ah, yes. Well, this will be the Alistair Campbell thing. And I don't want to get the BBC into more trouble. So I'd just like to say on the record that Alistair Campbell is not a liar. He has not lied. He's got people to do that for him.
Well, he's a busy man.
He is a busy man. And a spiteful one, too. But this is, there's this big row with the BBC, and it's a smokescreen There was a thing. It was important about something about W...
Oh, he's got to you!
BMW. Saddam could drive a BMW into Israel within 45 minutes or something. I forget the details.
Well, actually, while we're on that subject, really, if when you leave later on, if you could look under your seat, if you do find any weapons of mass destruction, could you send them to the government? Because they've looked everywhere. Simon, yes. Journalists are meant to be terrified of Alistair Campbell, aren't they? You're a journalist. Does he scare you?
No, but he's never hit me. No. Tonight on News Quiz, we'd like to offer an olive branch to Alistair Campbell and promise to spend the rest of the programme listing all the nice things we can say about the present government. So, good night. Campbell said the BBC report was flawed because it came from only one source, whereas the government's dossier on weapons of mass destruction came from at least two separate student exam papers.
Now, how do you sex up a weapons report? That's bizarre. Ooh, Saddam's got weapons, you know, big throbbing missiles. They're huge, and he can last 45 minutes.
And now a change of mood on Radio 4. Armando, listen to this.
For Champagne Charlie is my name. Champagne drinking is my game. There's no drink as good as fizz, fizz, fizz. I'll drink every drop there is. Champagne Charlie is my name.
Armando, who published his accounts this week to Wales of Derision?
Well, the clue there is Wales and derision. Prince Charles published his accounts in an attempt to look like an ordinary bloke. He got all his press secretaries to say, you know, he doesn't own a fleet of sports cars, he's not a playboy, he doesn't have lots of yachts. He owns Cornwall, which is just the one county. Oh yes, and it revealed that he had lots of servants, and he said that's quite normal, and he pays someone, I don't know, £15 million a year to be in charge of the paisley pattern on his pyjamas and make sure that the paisley is sufficiently variegated to his pleasure, and to make sure that the cornflakes that breach the surface of the milk in his bowl do so at his favourite angle of 34 degrees.
Essential work.
In a bid to offset criticism of his lifestyle, the Prince of Wales this week opened his accounts to public scrutiny. Charles, a keen horticulturalist, spent only £67,000 on gardening last year. He would like to have spent more, but was talked out of it by the begonias. Jeremy, which fragrant lady created a stink in court this week?
Oh, God, this is your woman, Archer. She had a facelift. We don't know which one. But she did have a facelift, and she said she didn't want people to know she'd had a facelift. Well, you look at her before and after, and you think, if you don't want people to know you've had a facelift, don't have a facelift. This is the point. She looks like she's been savagely ironed.
And, well, she looks a bit like a Siamese cat walking into a storm, doesn't she?
Yeah. Actually, Archer must have had a facelift, because the whole of his face seems to have been pulled into his forehead. It's all sort of rouge.
Yeah, it looks like an Austrian blind, he's got.
Because he's got parole, hasn't he? Has she just had the corners of her mouth curled up so she can pretend she's pleased to see him?
Is he going to be tagged? It'd be great to make sure he doesn't commit perjury in the neighbourhood.
Why, he beeps every time he lies.
Oh, yes.
Glad to be back. Beep, 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 beep,
beep. I wrote a
darling,
fantastic...
Darling, you look radiant. Beep, 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 beep.
I wrote a fantastic book in prison.
Beep, 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 beep.
All right,
what's
I read
broken?
A fantastic book in
beep, 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 beep.
Someone read me a fantastic...
We can't say anything about her, though, because she's litigious and she's not in chokey.
But does that mean if she's won, then we have got to pretend that we don't know she's had a facelift?
Yeah, it's all right. Not true. She's
we
just
mustn't
been using...
talk about her facelift.
Yeah.
So if you met her, you'd have to say, oh, Mary, you're looking your age.
Yeah.
According to evidence given by her former PA in the High Court, Lady Archer has gone to great lengths to hide the fact that she had a facelift. The former PA, Ms. Williams, claims huge legal bills have forced her to write about her work for the Archers. So the News of the World is disappointed to get her 1,000 words on My Night of Passion with Joe Grandy. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Radio Times.
ITV1, 11:30. My favourite hymns. Richard Whiteley talks to Danny LaRue.
Thanks to John Davis for that. Linda, who's being financed for swatting up on flies?
Ah, now this is this gentleman in York who, he worked for 40 years for the Midland Bank and retired, and now his hobby is studying flies. And he's discovered this fly that everyone thought was extinct, and now he's going to study its life cycle, but it only lives 2 weeks. You know, he saw himself in this tradition of the English amateur naturalist, you know, and he was saying that, you know, when he was young, he liked bird watching, but once he had a family, there wasn't the time to go off bird watching all day, so he took to studying flies at family picnics. The poor kids, every week in the car, come on, no, the abattoir again, in again, come on. Keep your sandwiches till we get there. I want a good swarm.
Sit there by the dog turd. Go on. Oh, get it on your shoe, for heaven's sake.
Oh, you're not trying to enjoy yourself.
Roy Crossley, a former bank official, has received a grant to monitor the life cycle of a rare species of fly. The fly was thought to have been extinct until two colonies were discovered. A small one in Wales and a very big one buzzing inside Alistair Campbell's hat. 2 points to Linda. Marcus, listen to this.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If the sperm is wasted, love gets quite irate.
Marcus, what are you advised to do with your sperm?
Yeah, no, what it is that every sperm is sacred. And it's basically that there's been some medical research done to say that storing up your sperm or not giving your sperm the opportunity...
Do you mean in Kilner jars or like...
No, storing it where it starts. Right. This is tricky.
Natural habitat.
I'm trying to keep this round included, basically.
It's called... Basically. Saving all your pocket money for a rainy day.
You mean keeping your passion porridge in your love grenades. You
know? Yes, I think that's suitably euphemistic. No one will see what we're talking about. Yeah, basically, storing up your sperm doesn't make you any more fertile. If anything, it makes you less fertile. Because if it were true that, you know, if you had no release, it just, you had more and more, monks wouldn't be able to walk. Do they?
It's like divine space hoppers.
The report says basically that it's quality, not quantity, that's important. Right. And they've basically revealed that sperm really is a lot like pensions. It doesn't matter how long you leave it in there. When you try and get it out, you're always going to be disappointed.
Abstinence from sex does not necessarily help men produce better sperm, according to researchers in Israel. When couples have trouble trying to get pregnant, the man is asked to produce a specimen of semen. We can't use the word to describe this activity, but in case you're wondering what it is, imagine a football crowd chanting at the referee, "Who's the sperm donor in the black?" Jeremy, which salad could leave you in a daze?
Ours is a posh salad. Raymond Blanc was asked to come up with the most expensive salad ever. And you wanted to sneer at this because it was £648, but it did look really nice.
Do you get bread with that?
I don't think, well, dressing's extra probably. But,
yes, but if you ask for salad cream, he gets pretty pissed off.
They were. Because I was brought up on the sort of British salad, which would be Sainsbury's Hawaiian style coleslaw, which would have pineapple and bits of canoe in it. But yeah, and he made this lovely thing, which, and it looked really nice.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like one of my mum's salads.
No.
She used to boil them for 3 hours. And the cucumber was so thin you could read the people's friend through it.
We had cold baked beans in our cellar. Cold baked beans and crisps.
We did.
And a hard boiled egg. And a radish that had done that thing. You know you can do that thing with a radish?
What
where you
thing?
Make the edge more jaggedy so as it can be used as a primitive weapon.
Salade croustillante, terre et mer. The 635 per plate salad created by top chef Raymond Blanc to launch National Salad Week. Promoters of the week describe it as Britain's greatest celebration of vegetables since the removal of hereditary peers from the House of Lords. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Linda.
This cutting is from the Lincolnshire County News Monthly, and it was sent in by Christopher Padley. And it's an item about potentially harmful plants. Many garden and countryside plants can be poisonous and should be avoided. When eaten, some may cause mild illness, while a few can lead to severe poisoning. The safest approach is not to eat any plants listed as poisonous.
It's good advice. My cutting is sent in by Iris Bryce from Blissworth, and this is from Just Jazz magazine. A sad passing. What with all the sadness and anxiety with which the world is dealing at the moment, it is worth stopping to reflect on the death of a very important person which almost went unnoticed last week. Larry Laprise, the man who wrote the Hokey Cokey, died peacefully at the age of 93. The most traumatic part for his family was getting him into the coffin. They put his left leg in, and that's when the trouble started.
Amanda.
This is from Mrs. Janice Hick from the Newcastle Evening Chronicle. In the ads, it says, electric chair in working order, good condition, dark red.
Jeremy.
This is sent in by David Warwick from Chichester, and it's from the Radio Times. And it says, 12 a.m, L'Ennui, erotic comedy drama starring Charles Burling and Sophie Guillemin. A professor is intrigued when he witnesses a row between a couple in French with English subtitles.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final score. Linda and Marcus have a brilliant 15, but Jeremy and Armando have just won with 16 points. And before we leave you, here's an item from The Sun.
A study has found that girls in Playboy magazine between 1960 and 2000 were thin during economic boom times and curvy after a major bust.
Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Linda Smith, Marcus Brigstock, Armando Iannucci and Jeremy Hardy. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield, Dave Cohen and George Coles. And the producer was Simon Nichols.